approve to the meeting. I think maybe the apology was today at 12 or so. I've got a cabinet meeting, but then I apologized that Friday and I said I'm going to be here. I'm going to give highlights. I'm happy the DG is here. The DG is the team, they have prepared the presentation. They will cut it into pieces led by the DG. Chair, as you would know, the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation is tasked with planning and monitoring and evaluating the government programs holistically. We are also tasked with translating the manifesto into a government program. I'm just going to give five highlights of the manifesto, which are also informed the priorities of government. So the first of them would be economic transformation, science and technology, education, health, and macro configuration of government to strengthen cooperative governance. What highlights under economic transformation, Chairperson, it is the continuous review of the NDP, expropriation of land without compensation, it is the review of the micro operations of SOEs, and lastly, it is, transport as a catalyst for economic development. Under science and technology, Chairperson, it is to improve education so that we can advance fourth IR. Under education, Chair, is operation priority to facilitate the universities in schools. Under health, is the rollout of NHI and financing thereof. What are the critical of the NHI? Part of that is improving of health system, infrastructure, and procurement. The last one in relation to the manifesto is the micro configuration of government system to strengthen cooperative governance. What Minister is doing today as part of the launch of the district development model speaks to that one. Chairperson and colleagues, the seven priorities of government are also underpinned by the NDP 2030. The NDP seeks to address inequality, unemployment, and poverty. What are these seven priorities of government? Priority one used to be priority six. It has been reduced to be priority one, which is a capable, ethical, and developmental state. Priority two is economic transformation and job creation. Priority three is education, skills, and health. Priority four is consolidation of social wage through reliable and quality basic services. Priority five is special integration, human settlement, and local government. Priority six is social cohesion and safe communities. And lastly, priority seven is a better Africa and the world. Now, women, youth, and people living with disabilities, they cut across all the priorities. Chairperson, what do we do as DPME in relation to monitoring? From the seven priorities which we shall have translated, we translated what we call an implementation plan, or what you call an MTSF 2019 to 2024. The MTSF is then accompanied by what you call a monitoring plan or a monitoring framework. We then produce monitoring reports against the MTSF. We also produce what you call a budget mandate paper, and this we do in collaboration, Chairperson, with National Treasury and various clusters of government. Through the monitoring framework, Chair, we also monitor reports against the APP, the MTSF, and frontline monitoring. We also monitor the performance of DGs. Chairperson, through monitoring, we also have what you call a presidential hotline, which we have currently digitalized. We have launched a Kauleza app. We also have got a USSD number. Initially, when the presidential house presidential hotline was founded in 2009, you could only send an email and make a phone call to interact with us in relation to any question that you have any issues of service delivery. We have broadened the base of interacting with our people, which is also in line with the activity. And like monitoring, what do? We also go to service delivery points to check how are we as government giving services to our people. So, for example, we go to courts, clinics, police stations, to check even hospitals, what services are they giving our people, are they effective, and are they speaking to what we stand for as government. Share all these reports, we then table them to cabinet, we also take them to the portfolio committee. These are also reports which are available, we would be gladly happy to share them with you so that you can also conduct oversight on us. In relation to our evaluation, Chairperson, based on the seven priorities, we then identify key programs for evaluation. For example, at DPME, we can decide that we want to evaluate the effectiveness of ECG, the effectiveness of Child Protection Act, and whether it is assisting in whatever way we want it to assist. We also use this report for improvements and also to advise departments in relation to how can they improve so that we can serve our people better. The findings, we also use them for future reference to inform policy formulation, for planning and for implementation. The evaluation care, we also use them for future evaluations and planning as a whole. As I conclude, Chairperson, what we do at DPME is also intervention. For example, we can decide that we want to go and monitor the implementation of Section 100 in the Northwest. We want to go and monitor a government intervention which has been in place in any province. And then after that, what we do is that we produce a report which we take to cabinet, also go to portfolio committee. We also interact with relevant stakeholders who must come to party to ensure that the implementation of Section 100, for example, is effective and it addresses whatever we want to address. We also have what you call an operation PAKISA, meant to assist with a detailed analysis of government of the program in order to develop an intervention plan. So in this case, for example, is that you'll have an operation PAKISA which will say we are concentrating on ocean economy, operation PAKISA which will say we are concentrating on an ideal clinic. Chair, as I conclude, and I'm going to give it to the team led by the DG, is just to bring to the workshop that on the 26th of March, when the pandemic was declared, departments were expected that they must cut their budget so that we can channel our resources to dealing with the invisible pandemic. As DPME, we also participated in that process. What that meant is that we then had to reprioritize and review the MTSF. It also meant that for us as a department, we can only fill critical posts and not all posts on the structure. We also had to defer what you call a national evaluation plan, SGPME, to the next financial year. Departments, through our own coordination, also had to each agency reduce their APPs. As we speak to you today, Chairperson, SGPME, we are using a process of reviewing the MTSF. All of this work, we had to do them because we're responding to a pandemic and cutting off budgets. I thank you. I'm going to request the DG. I think yesterday when we were planning to come today, they had indicated that each and every one, like the presentation I was making, one would speak on evaluation, one would speak on monetary, another one would speak on planning. I thank you. I'm going to request the DG to take over from here.
Thank you, PM. Good morning, Chairperson, DM, honorable members. I'm Robert Nkuna, the Director General of the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. Chairperson, I'm connecting from COPSTAR. I'm here with the Minister. We are launching the Erikwala District Development Model. As you know, Chairperson, up to now we have three district development models that are operational, and these are the ones that were launched by the President, including Oantambo, Etekwini, and Waterberg. So this is the fourth district development model. Now, we are taking this endeavor around the district development model very seriously as a DPME. And we are participating in this endeavor at two levels. First, we are responsible for monitoring and evaluation of the district development model. But the two principals have also been assigned their respective areas where they are acting as the champions. The minister is the champion of the Erikwala industry development model, and the DM is responsible for the Skubune area. So as a department, we obviously render support to the principals so that we can be a model player in terms of the implementation of the industry development model. As indicated, we are also going to be responsible for monitoring and evaluation, and on regular basis we'll have to release a report. So that explains why some of us have to be here. Now, given the fact that I'm connecting from this side, I may be lost at some point, and I'll ask for the indulgence to excuse me at some point to join the actual event where Minister Dlamini Zuma and Minister Mthembu will be inaugurating the Erikwala District Development Model. Now, I call the DGs villages in attendance. We also have the outcome facilitators who are specialists in the different areas in attendance. So, Chair, with your permission, I will hand over to one of the DDGs to lead the presentation. And as indicated, I will be lost at some point, but I will keep on coming back to the meeting, also depending on the availability of the connection that I'm using. So I'll ask ADDG Nsima Martin to lead the presentation, and where necessary, we'll hand over to other ADDGs to then present on their respective areas. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. The apology is well captured.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair and DM. Good morning, honourable members. So as DG has highlighted, the presentation will consist of different components. I'll basically talk to the first part, then we'll then talk about the planning system, the monitoring system, which has two components. It's the MTSF reports, as well as the citizen-based monitoring framework. And then lastly, we'll talk about the program of evaluations from a DPME perspective. You can move to the next slide. Thank you. So the DM has partly touched on this. So from a DPME perspective, we're responsible for national planning, monitoring, and evaluation in relation to the implementation of both the NDP, and then the implementation plan of the NDP is the medium-term strategic framework. So the NDP is obviously the long-term plan, whereas the MTSF focuses more on this term of the administration, and also includes the electoral mandate of the ruling party. So DPME monitors the implementation of the NDP through the MTSF, because the link of the long-term goals are into the MTSF. And then lastly, we conduct programmatic evaluations, as the DM has highlighted, depending on the nature of the programs and what we want to interrogate and how we want to improve those programs. So we'll talk to all of these elements as part of the slides. Next slide. So again, this is just an overview to say what have we essentially promised to deliver on. A key to this is supporting the building of a capable state. And the elements of prioritizing, focusing, and measure. So prioritization is essentially about the planning system, how we come up with priorities and focus government's program, and then the monitoring and evaluation components is how do we measure that. And that links all the way from the MTSF monitoring into the minister's performance agreements and the agreements for HODs. Thank you. Next slide. So this is just broadly the organizational structure for DPME. It's a bit small, but I think the DM has highlighted the impact on the DPME budget and the impact that has had on posts. So we've had to essentially cut 31 posts at different levels over the next 3 years as part of that reprioritization. But that has also then allowed us to refocus in terms of our own APP. So firstly, if you start there on the left-hand side, we've got the National Planning Branch, which deals with the MTSF, strategic plans and annual performance plans. The sector monitoring teams monitor the MTSF across the 7 priorities of government. Public sector monitoring is responsible for frontline monitoring, as well as monitoring of the public sector and the delivery agreements for HODs. We then have evidence and knowledge systems, which is responsible for evaluations, research, as well as data integration. And then we have the two support functions around corporate services and finance and the supply chain. Maybe one important thing to also note is the block on the top there. We also support the National Planning Commission, which is obviously an independent entity that supports the long-term plan of government through the NDP, and the NPC Secretariat, which then assists the Commission, resides within DPME as well. Thank you. Next slide, thank you. So Chair, I'm going to just pause at this point And I'm going to ask Dr. Masitang, who is the Deputy Secretary for the Planning Commission Secretariat, to just talk through the functions of the Commission and how this links to the NDP and how they monitor the NDP. Dr. Masitang, are you on?
And good morning to the DMS, to colleagues and to honourable members. The National Planning Commission.
Okay. Two things. Can I request everybody to mute his or her microphone so that we allow the presenter enough time and space to communicate with us and the people of South Africa? That's one. Secondly, Dr. You are too soft. Can you please raise your voice a little bit? Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you very much, and thanks for the opportunity. The National Planning Commission is an advisory body that is located in the presidency in terms of its work as a think tank. It is not an implementing structure in government, and that is given as a role of the department. The NPC is made up of 24 part-time external commissioners that have been appointed by the president based on their skills, expertise, for a period of 5 years, with the chairperson who is now our minister in the presidency, Minister Jackson Tembo, and the deputy chairperson of the NPC is currently Professor Malikhaburu Makgoba. And the work of the NPC is supported by the secretariat, as Mr. Lindsay said. The second group that we are having currently of commissioners was appointed in 2015, and their term ended this year in September, but has been extended until March 2021. And the mandate of this NPC, the second one, because the first one was between 2010 and 2015, has been to promote and advance implementation of the National Development Plan as was adopted by government in 2012. And this mandate involves the interface with the bureaucratic workings of government, and especially in this case, working very closely with DPME to ensure that the monitoring of the NDP through MTSF properly provides the results that continuously give us the sense of how well we are doing in terms of implementation of the NDP, and working with other stakeholders, civil society, business, and everybody else, so that we are making sure that the NDP is the plan of the country and not the plan of government alone. The next slide indicates the mandate of the NPC, basically to promote and advance the implementation of the plan, do the research and analysis to inform continuously the long-term planning, observing the changes and the challenges towards implementation. And on this, we have just finalized the NDP review in April that identifies the successes, challenges, and what needs to be done to improve the implementation of the National Development Plan going forward. It is also supposed to facilitate stakeholder engagement. On this work, we have worked with all stakeholders in the different thematic areas, whether it is just transition for climate change, whether it is in the social transformation, and whether it is in the economic environment with business and with the civil society in terms of the social protection floor. So all this work has been done in the discussions, discourse, and conversations with the stakeholders across the country. We also contribute on the international partnerships and networks for planning. This includes working with the UN in terms of what we call the SDGs, working with the AU Secretariat in terms of the implementation of Agenda 2063, and all the other regional networks on planning, including the presidential infrastructure coordination that is done and led by our president. And then we also undertake detailed planning on selected sectors. Most of that work that has been done is currently on the website. Critically, we have done a lot of work on the sector economy, on the sector, social transformation, even looking at the issues of social protection and creating the space for the social protection floor. All that research has been provided and is on the website. Then we also ensure that there is engagement on with sectors of society on the long-term development of South Africa and look at the different terms and the different sectoral plans that already exist, and we advise as and when we can. The next slide indicates the Vision 2030 that we are currently working towards. So our work is to continuously observe as to whether the country is on the critical path or on course to attain the three major or apex goals to eradicate poverty from 39% of the people that are living below the poverty line that was estimated by 2009 crisis, moving from 39% of the people to 0%, reducing unemployment to 0% to 6% by creating 11 million more jobs by 2030, and significantly reducing inequality from 0.69 to 0.6 of the Gini coefficient, which is a used milestone to measure inequality. And these are already used to measure the progress in the current report of the review that is in 2020, and the report indicates that the country is not yet on course to attain those three apex of objectives of the National Development Plan. The next slide indicates the six pillars of the National Development Plan. The critical catalytical ways are to mobilize all South Africans behind the plan. As we say, the National Development Plan is the plan of the country, not the plan of the government alone. Therefore, even if implementation, everybody should be able to say what has been their contribution. There should be active engagement with all citizens in their development. The other pillar is to ensure that there is expansion of the economy and making the economy that works for all, and therefore making the economic growth that is seen to be inclusive, making sure that everybody is part and is partaking and is benefiting from the economy that we are talking about. Building the key capabilities, making sure that there is human capital, there is physical capabilities and institutional capabilities for the implementation of the National Development Plan in the country. Of importance is the issue of building a capable and developmental state that is able to be interventions, able to be seen to be responsive and changing the livelihoods of the people as and when is expected, and fostering the strong leadership across society as we implement and move towards attaining the goals of the National Development Plan as we know them. All the research that has been produced by the National Development Commission has been put on the website. There are research papers, background papers, and discussion documents on the website, and all this information is what we use to communicate how far we are coming and whether we need to do some changes in terms of getting on the critical path to implement the National Development Plan. The next slide indicates the work and the progress that has been done, and the performance has also been indicated in the NDP review that we have just done now. And the NDP review just indicates that on the issue of eradicating absolute poverty, that goal of moving from 39% of the people living below the poverty line to zero is not on course, is not on critical path, because the poverty levels in South Africa has declined, as we have been observing between 2006 and 2011, but they have subsequently increased during the period 2011 to 2015. And as we know now, the projections are that poverty is seen to be increasing and will continue to increase as part of the impact of the COVID-19. And therefore, the proportion of South Africans living below the line, the lower line, has also increased from 36% in 2011, that was about 18.7 million people, to about 40% in 2015, which is about 21.9 million people, and the proportion of people living below the upper bound poverty line that had initially decreased from 66% in 2006 to 53.2% in 2011 has now moved again back to about 55%, and I am sure if the work and the data on poverty is updated, we might see an increase in those levels. The next slide shows us the performance in terms of unemployment, and it also indicates that the country is not on a critical path, even just to get to the expected levels of unemployment even by 2020, which would have been 14%, and the unemployment rate is just increasing, and we have just seen that we have even moved to about 30.1% in the second quarter of 2020. And this also shows that the higher brunt of this unemployment is borne by the young people and the women across the society in our country. On the issue on inequality, the country is not on track to move towards 0.6 Gini coefficient through a range of policy interventions. What we are seeing is that the Gini coefficient is currently at 0.67, and we realize that even with the social wage, even with the other interventions that are currently being done to try and curb the issue of inequality, the impact of COVID will continue to make it difficult to move towards attaining that particular target. The next slide then shows and indicates the work that has been done in the three work streams. We have the first work stream that talks to the issue of economy, and they are called Expanded, Inclusive and Fairer Economy. They have worked on a paper on exports and competitiveness. They have examined the issues around SMMEs and township economies. They have looked at the work on labor policies to improve economic growth, and they have made recommendations. They have examined even the ways of reducing the cost of doing business. They have looked at the overview of the economy and started to investigate the areas and the issues and the obstacles towards job creation, and they are making some recommendations in that work. They have written a paper on the infrastructure and SOEs, and they have made recommendations thereof also. They have written a paper on energy and policies, and the paper is also on the website. They have also developed a water security framework for the country, and they have also done a pathways towards just transition to low carbon economy. All these papers are currently on our website and are available for public consumption. The next slide talks to the other work stream that looks to issues of quality of life, that is the issues that deal with social transformation. They have a paper or a policy brief that talks to the impact of cost of living for the poor. They have created pathways for the youth transitions from school to employment. They have made a contribution to the rollout of NHI and the bill that is currently underway. They have made contributions to the implementation and the review of the social protection, as well as the white paper on social development that is currently being discussed in the social cluster. They have done some work on the examination of the food security, and more recommendations has also been made in terms of the issues around educational outcomes, especially on higher education and fees. The last work stream that they have is on the next slide, which is about working on developmental stage. This is dealing with active citizenry, capable state and leadership. On their work, they have created some work on the observations and an advisor note on the National Development Framework, the NSDF, that has already been done. They have made recommendations on the implementation of the public service proposals. They have made implementation proposals on the JCPS issues, as well as making sure that there is communication about the NDP and establishing continental international relationships
where we have created the report on the voluntary national report review for South Africa in terms of its meeting the SDGs at the UN in 2019. We have submitted the progress made by South Africa in meeting Agenda 2063 at the AU summit in February, and we will submit another one in the coming summit. And we have also looked at the efficiency of the implementation of the MNE tools, including the MTSF that is used by government, and we have made recommendations thereof. And lastly, the next slide that talks to the work that we do has been that we have made observations at the NPC that insignificant progress has been made, and the country is yet not on course to reduce unemployment, poverty, and inequality. And the NPC will continue to input into government plans to stimulate the economy. And as part of the 25-year review, we made contributions in terms of the proposals for the future implementation, and we finalized the NDP review in 2020. And government implementation in terms of the NDP needs improved coordination, and we have developed proposals in prioritizing and measuring NDP implementation, including deliberately working very closely with the DPME as they do the review of their MTSF. And the other work that has been undertaken has been the proposals on the administrative and political levels that have changed, and we have looked at the proposals in terms of what needs to be done to deal with that issue, including the proposals that have been made on the developmental state recommendations to cabinet and to DPSA. And the communication and the commitment to NDP and implementation needs to be improved. We have seen that there has been focus on government, and it might sound like when NPC speaks, it only speaks to the failures of government, but there should be increased participation, partnerships, collaboration in making sure that the work of business, labor, social partners, and other stakeholders is looked into, is managed, is also prioritized, as all of us should be able to measure and implement the National Development Plan. And we will continue with the stakeholders and engagement to promote the implementation of the NDP across all stakeholders, including government as a leading partner in the implementation of the NDP. Kialebo.
Thank you, Dr. Masitang. Chair, I'm just going to come in here again. So Dr. Masitang has just given an overview of the Planning Commission and how they support the work of the NDP. So within the Planning Coordination Branch, we focus on the medium-term and the short-term planning of government. So we essentially translate the NDP into the MTSF, as well as looking at what is the electoral mandate of the ruling party. So broadly, there's four functions. We facilitate the development of the MTSF. We oversee strategic plans and annual performance plans. We develop the budget priority framework. And then lastly, we also support and manage spatial planning systems and supporting legislation. Next slide. Okay, I think we've spoken to this, but just broadly, the impact of the budgetary prioritization in terms of the structure has meant that there's been delays in terms of funding posts, and obviously has also impacted on the abolishment of certain posts. Next slide. So this slide, I think, is quite an important one. What it tries to do is to pull together what do all the planning frameworks of government look like. So from the international obligations that we have and the requirements that come out of the Constitution, those then impact on the National Development Plan, which is obviously Vision 2030. We have then developed the medium-term strategic framework, which was done last year. So that's for 2019 to 2024. and that also includes the electoral manifesto of the ruling party. On an annual basis, we then look at what has been the performance within government, what are the priorities that are planned in the MTSF, and what are those things that we think need to be prioritized as part of the budget discussions. And that's where the budget prioritization framework comes in. Quite importantly then, how does the MTSF end up within departments in terms of implementation? So there's two avenues. One is the strategic plans of departments, which is a five-year plan for that department. And then the annual performance plan looks at the annual outputs, indicators, and targets that departments have to deliver. So those, in terms of the DPME's mandate, we oversee the strategic planning and APP process for both national and provincial government, because there's requirements for them to establish those. But we also provide input to the Department of Cooperative Governance, who oversees the integrated development plans for local government. Thanks. Next slide. So the Deputy Minister has highlighted the seven APEX priorities. So those continue to drive the MTSF, as was announced in the State of the Nation address in 2019, which is an ethical, capable ethical and developmental state, economic transformation and job creation, education, skills and health, consolidating the social wage through reliable quality basic services, spatial integration, human settlements and local government, social cohesion and safer communities, and then a better Africa and world. And as mentioned, there's a cross-cutting focus in each of those priorities on women, youth, and people with disabilities. Most importantly, the goals of the NDP, as Dr. Masitang has highlighted, anchor the MTSF in terms of linking the medium-term plans to the achievement of the long-term goals. Next slide. So the first element that we want to talk to is what we call the budget prioritization framework. So this is an annual document which is used as an input into the budget discussion through the medium-term expenditure committee process and the function groups. So what we've done is we've separated what are the priorities in the current MTSF and what is the impact of those on each what we call budget function group. So National Treasury uses those function groups as part of their deliberations within the budget process. So firstly, general public services, the issue about modernizing the public service, including public entities, offering governance of state-owned entities, which are important drivers of economic growth, implementation of an integrated financial management system, which is also key as part of government's e-government strategy, the implementation of the district development model becomes key to drive integration within government across spheres. And then from a DPME perspective, we're also working towards an integrated monitoring and evaluation system so that we can better monitor. In terms of economic development, quite key to these is supporting reindustrialization. So there's a number of sector master plans. I think there's currently about 12 under development from a DTIC, supporting SMMEs, small enterprises. So we know these have probably been the hardest hit in terms of a sector due to the impact of COVID-19. Infrastructure investment, especially around renewable energy and embedded generation, becomes quite key. And then lastly, improving our competitiveness and reducing the cost of doing business is also part of the reforms that the government is undertaking. Community development focuses on spatial transformation, human settlements and local government. So yeah, there's a need to accelerate land reform. And we've seen the announcements already about government making land available, public land available. Spatial transformation and well-located housing becomes quite key. This is about providing opportunities for citizens to access economic opportunities, rehabilitation of ecological infrastructure and a just transition, which is again linked to the NDP, agrarian transformation and food security, We've also seen the impact of COVID-19 in terms of food security and the impact of livelihoods of citizens. And then lastly, from a DDM perspective, when you're looking at local government, specifically improving basic service delivery through the DDM is quite key. Next slide. So the remaining function groups is then learning and culture is the first one. This deals with education skills. So to stabilize and improve the quality and conceptual planning of pre-grade one, so this is ECD essentially, developing an education curriculum that responds to a digitized world. And again, we've seen the impact of COVID-19 and the disproportionate impact on those schooling spaces that don't have access to online learning. Investing in education infrastructure and reducing backlogs is quite key. So to have adequate teaching and learning spaces improves the quality of education. And then lastly, expanding access and quality of TVETs, because that's tertiary sector is seen as key to driving longer-term skills development in terms of the white paper. From a health and social development perspective, so expediting the NHI bill is key, and again, the impact of COVID-19 has demonstrated that a unified health system with collaboration between public and private parties is quite key to be able to deal with the pandemic. There are different components of that that support the NHI. The first one is about the National Quality Health Improvement Plan. Then there's also the issue of dealing with the human resources. So a comprehensive health human resource strategy needs to be prioritized. Mitigating the risks associated with medical litigation. So there are significant impacts, especially on provincial health departments, due to medical legal claims against those departments. And we've put in place some strategies to reduce that, but more needs to be done. And then lastly, developing a standardized social welfare package. So that essentially looks at all the social services that government delivers, being able to coordinate and to integrate those better. And again, some of the lessons we've learned from COVID-19 is that as we want to expand access to the social welfare net through, for example, unemployment relief benefits, there's issues about systems integration that we have to improve on. And then lastly, peace and security, ensuring safer communities and more visible policing and training, interventions that focus on reducing domestic violence and gender-based violence has been a big push. Enhancing the capacity of the investigative directorate, crime intelligence and prosecutions. So this is also to deal with issues around corruption, which have been in the media. Strengthen the coordination at the country's borders and ports. So this is to protect against things like illicit crime, illegal migration, and to protect the sovereignty of the country. And then lastly, operationalize the integrated cybersecurity center and enhance private partnerships. Another impact of COVID-19 is that as more people get online and more services are digitized, we've seen increased attacks on the cyber centers of different institutions. So that South Africa needs to work on that. Thanks. Next slide. So all of those things, as I have mentioned, essentially come out of discussions in the current MTSF. So a lot of those are part of a sustained agenda which government has to work towards over the 2020 to 24 remaining term. For example, things like NHI and school infrastructure. But we have seen that COVID-19 has had a significant impact on the implementation of the MTSF. So for example, when we assessed the annual performance plans for national departments, for the first quarter, we were able to see that they were only able to achieve 60% of their plan targets. From a provincial perspective, they were only able to achieve 40% of their plan targets. So part of that is also because of the reprioritization of budgets. And those were only then reflected within the retabled plans. So post the supplementary budget, we did then allow national departments and provincial departments to retable their strat plans and their APPs because of this. Probably the biggest impact of COVID-19 has been the social and economic impacts, because the country was already in recession when COVID hit. This has had a significant impact on the fiscal position, which has meant that there will be further reprioritization of funds over the medium term, the MTEF. Key to us is then to say, how do we learn some of the lessons from the pandemic, as well as improve the capability to deliver? Because we've demonstrated in certain cases we can deliver faster. And how do you then take these lessons into the update of the MTSF, which is the next slide. The next one, thank you. So the DM has spoken about the need to revise the MTSF. So we've had these massive impacts due to COVID-19 and because of the economic effects on the MTSF. So when the MTSF was approved, we had also said there are issues that we need to pull into the MTSF. That included the NDP review report, which Dr. Masitang has spoken about, the 4IR implementation plan. So those recommendations have just gone to Cabinet and have been approved. The district development model becomes quite key to integrating planning. And then the last three are linked, which is the impact of COVID-19, lessons from that. How do we recover from this in terms of the economic reconstruction and recovery plan? And then what is the impact of the revised fiscal framework? So these issues are currently active at the moment. I think as the members are aware, the economic reconstruction and recovery plan, the President has also highlighted he will be sharing that with Parliament shortly, but that's a big component of the recovery phase and update of the MTSF. Next slide. So what we thought would be quite useful for the members is to share with them what exists in terms of the framework for strategic plans and annual performance plans. So we've highlighted that DPME essentially oversees the development of those. We have a framework for strategic plans and annual performance plans. We then do assessments in collaboration with departments like Treasury and the Department of Women, Youth and People with Disabilities to assess, are strategic plans aligned to the goals of the MTSF? And are outputs then being reflected in the annual performance plans of departments? We then also do assessment reports on that alignment, which, for example, within this year, I think it's the end of October, is when departments will be submitting their draft plans to us for assessment. We also do training across national government and provincial government, as well as through Parliament and the legislatures on the relevant frameworks. Next slide. So to support the reporting requirements of strat plans and APPs, so once we've done the planning assessment components, and we know that APPs are aligned, you have to be able to monitor progress. So the progress is monitored on a quarterly basis for provincial and national government. We have what we call the electronic quarterly performance reporting system, through which departments report on a quarterly basis. And we have guidelines that basically demonstrate how departments should report. We then also assist the offices of the Premier because they coordinate the EQPR process within the provincial space. And then lastly, as highlighted, we also do training on the reporting guidelines for the purposes of departments, constitutional entities, etc. So this system is something that the researchers and the members in the committee can access and draw information from this to get a sense of what departments are implementing. So quite importantly, as mentioned, the system tracks the quarterly targets and outputs of departments. The nice thing about it, because it's structured around programs, you are able then to link program level information to the in-year monitoring reports from National Treasury. We are looking at a longer term reform as to how you can link these two systems so that you can then able to compare both the financial information from a Treasury perspective with the non-financial data in the quarterly performance reporting system. One thing that we do on an annual basis, So as we do all these assessments, you need to get a better sense of what is actually happening in departments in terms of performance. So we also host performance dialogues on an annual basis, where we invite the relevant program managers, and this is then coordinated again between DPME and National Treasury, so that we can have discussions on both the finances and the non-financial performance. Thank you, Chair. I think so, Chair. The next set of slides deal with the monitoring system. So that is both monitoring in terms of the MTSF, which Dr. Thabo Mabakwane will talk to, and then it's also the citizen-based monitoring and the presidential hotline. Essentially, how do we lift up information from the citizens? One thing maybe where you'll have to guide us, Chair, so in this we've included quite a lot of examples on different types of programs and information that you could potentially lift from programs. You would have to guide us to say if you want to go through all of those examples or whether the team can focus on a few and the rest is there for information. So you can guide us, Chair, and then Dr. Mabakwane will present on this section. Thanks.
Thanks. I think focus on the few and make the point quite exactly are you saying with those examples that you'll be making. Is that clear?
Yes, thanks. Thabo, thank you, Thabo.
Thanks, Chair. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you. So I'll be just looking at the MTSF and what we have been doing, and then I think most of it people are aware of what how it has been brought about and what it's trying to do. As Dr. Masitene has said, they have the NDP, and then Lindsay showed that they developed the MTSF, which is how you implement the NDP. And then we focus on monitoring then the MTSF, which basically is monitoring the MTS, the NDP. And through the system, we've had it the MTSF in 2019, and there's going to be another one in 2024, and then the 2029, which will be ending the NDP. So our reports are basically tracking what is happening at the national level, trying to see whether the targets and the indicators that have been set, are they being met, and what are the challenges we sit with departments to discuss if there are blockages, to say what are those blockages and try and resolve them. And through it, we go to cabinet to go and report on, initially it used to be quarterly, but because we are focusing more on results, it was decided by cabinet that we will have a biannual reporting of the MTSF. And then these reports that we report, that we provide during the POA week, they take information from what the departments are doing, their reports, we integrate it with what comes out from your front line, and then we also take reports from executive monitoring that is being conducted and what the local government monitoring system is giving us. Next slide. So this just gives us the kinds of information that we try and use to triangulate, that we are not necessarily only relying on what the departments are giving information, but there is also this visit to the coalface where we go and see the reality of what is happening. But being a small department, it means we can't be in every institution, we can't be in every school, for example, but we try and sample, and then from that sample we try and create a picture that we are able to communicate to cabinet on. Then on top of that, then we also collaborate with presidency, where they give us particular assignments when they have seen that there are problems and they will require us to come and report. So for example, around TVET colleges, infrastructure of schools, there was a time where the presidency was saying we need to intervene and try and help the departments. Then there are also unscheduled visits that the executive conducts as the minister or the deputy minister, where they go to the coalface, and those reports are what we also bring in when we try and develop a complete picture that when we are developing our POA report. Next slide, please. So the important documents that we have that I believe will be of use to the committee is that we monitor the seven priorities, and on as I said, biannually these reports will be available after cabinet, and this basically I will show an example of what kind of information it has, but it's an information that will be able to tell in terms of performance, whether against the targets that we have set in the MPSF, how far is the department from reaching those goals. We provide briefing notes to every during the POA, where we look at each department now we are around the priorities to say how are they doing and how effective are they in terms of meeting the targets that they have. Then we also develop what we call ministerial performance scorecards. We have not done it now. It's going to happen when the president will be evaluating his ministers. And these performance cards are based on what the ministers have signed and what the MPSF is saying, and then in it we are saying, is the minister meeting the targets that they have been set in terms of trying to meet the MTSF targets and the goals of the ruling party. Next slide. So this just gives the process that we go through in terms of developing this report. So the reports are provided to the DPME by departments to say this is what they have done. We engage with the departments to say we disagree with some of the things that you have done, because and every quarter they are reporting, and then so we are able to see the trends all in terms of their performance, and then we write a delivery report, which is the one that we are going to be giving to cabinet in the week of the 27th of October, which basically saying how has the government been doing against the MTSF. So we evaluate this progress that has been made. We try, as I said, bring everything together to be able to analyze, to say, are you likely to meet the targets? Are you off track? What are the trends? Are they things that we can identify that we need to help you with, so that you are able to meet the targets? Because the important thing is that when you meet the targets, we want to also see the outcomes, which is the more difficult thing, because in the most of the departments we report on the outputs, but if the outputs are not aligned with the outcomes, that is why sometimes you see that we have there is performance, but the outcomes remain stubborn. We don't get the outcomes that we are looking for. And these reports, after they've gone through the Joint Cabinet Committee, as I say, they are available, and they will always be on our POA system, which can the committees welcome to interact with them. The next slide, please. So the minister's performance agreements, they contain specific outcomes that we are expecting, and then they also have some activities and interventions that we would like to see, that we believe that if they actually get to do them, they will unlock service delivery in the country. So it measures also the SONA, what the president has committed to say how far are we in terms of performance around those. They are included in the agreement, and then this is an important thing, because this will be used actually to then develop what we call the scorecard, which then will be just looking at those things that they have been committed, they are clear what they are committing to, and when the president sits with the minister, we'll be able then to have the scorecard to say, from what was provided, are you able to are you able to account that government has been able to do what it has promised in terms of SONA, in terms of the mandate, and in terms of the sustained agenda of the NDP. Next slide. So this is an example of a template chair that we'll just go through it slowly, and then the rest I will not dwell in depth in them. So this basically show an example of a reporting template that we get from the department, and then we also then develop it after we've engaged. So it will have what the outcomes should be, what the country wants to see in the long run if everything is being implemented. It will tell you what the indicator is, it will give you what the baseline was, and then it will tell you what the target is that we want to see. Some of them are annualized and some of them are over the five-year period. We track the cumulative performance so that we can always see from the baseline and each quarter, how have you been doing in terms of those limited indicators that we have selected. And then during that quarter or during that biannual, we say, how have you performed? What's the actual performance? So that if you've achieved a lot in the last quarter, you can now cheat the system and say you can relax in the following quarter because you've overachieved in the previous quarter. We actually say every quarter what's the progress. And then CPMA will provide an assessment part where we are going to be able to say, looking at your performance, are we in line to meet the targets, and are there challenges that we are thinking as DPME, you need to be thinking about and try and so on. And this is the part that usually gets DPME in challenges, because when ministers see the rates and people focus only on the rates, they feel that we may, people feel that we are being too narrow, we are not considering the whole picture. But this is an important thing. To be able to discuss, to say, where are the blockages? Because where things are going well, we don't necessarily need to focus, we just need to ensure that things continue happening, but it's actually focusing on where the challenge is. So in the new one that we are having, we are removing this traffic light, because ministers were saying they don't feel very well with the rate. So we will still write what we feel, it is a challenge, but then at the same time we won't necessarily put it in red as we used to. Then the last column tells you where the information comes from, because some of it we gather from research papers, some of it is from our evaluation teams, and some of it is from your frontline service delivery. And so we need to show the minister, the different departments and different ministers where we got our information. They also put in there where they got their information. So this basically is an example that you have on economic transformation and job creation, and the outcomes for that one was decent jobs created. So as you can see, it's an outcome of the state that we want to achieve. And then there are indicators, we selected a few, but there are indicators of things that need to happen for us to realize the state of having more decent jobs created and sustained. And then we have, as I said, the baseline tells you what it was, what the target, and then it will give you what the performance is. And as you can see, investing for accelerated inclusive growth, industrialization, and improving competitiveness through the adoption of ICT. So this is a kind of the tool that we use. Then below it, we will have a report that actually is a discussion report that gives information, that discusses, rather than just giving these short versions that, that we have in this book. This is for ease of reading for people who read a lot of documents. Next slide, please. So why did we go into this way of doing things? Is it because we saw that in the previous ones there were shortcomings, and especially that we realized that engagements between the president and ministers were not always sustained around the signed performance agreement. Therefore, this the MPSF becomes, this monitoring becomes an important way of monitoring that even when these meetings don't happen, at least ministers are aware that are they on the target, are they in the trajectory to meet with what they have signed to. And then there was always a challenge, also failure to achieve the expected socio-economic outcomes. And so we were saying that targets have not necessarily led to the outcomes that we require. And this is because lots of times departments do not have a coherent delivery plan. And so their theory of delivery is not systemic. And therefore, forcing them to have this limited outcomes, limited indicators, forces them to think much more strategically on what are the steps that they require to be able to achieve where the target needs to be. Then we in the previous MTSF, there was a complaint also that DPMB realized that we had too many priorities and therefore we needed to make it much, much smaller. So if you look, if you compare the current MTSF and the previous MTSF, you see that we've reduced the indicators that we are measuring. And even the one that is coming up, we will be actually be short, the targets will actually be even much more smaller, so that when we discuss or when we are in the, engaging, you are able to just focus on the important ones rather than the many that we had. And the reasons that we had many was that the system needed to be fixed with so many things that needed to be done. But as the system is getting more mature, we are saying we need to focus on a few and then need to be able to then ensure that the discussions focus on those few, and the unblocking is what we need to be then focused on, because then we are not doing too many things, but we are focused on these ones which departments will be able then to deal with. Next slides, I think the next slides are the ones that I'm just going to be jumping. So as I said, this gives you the process. You have your ministerial performance agreement, you have your POA, we have the alignment of the strategic plans and the annual performance plan, you have the quarterly progress reporting, and then you have repeated assessments of implementation impact, and then you have the frontline service delivery and the presidential hotline, and then you have validation and intervention and support. So all of these are all information that is being used to in terms of how we monitor the MPSF. Next slide, please. So this is an example of the kind of report that we have. For example, this is around the Integrated National Electrification Program, which tells you how many households were needed to be electrified, what is the increase since cumulatively since 1994, and then it tells you why we've seen a decrease in terms of the electrification. And then it gives you information also on what are the challenges that we have identified. And then it tells you also in terms of budget, well, the cut in budgets, the ramifications of that and how it's going to affect this outcome that is being presented. Next one, please. This one looks at water and sanitation, which talks around the interventions that we're looking at is around your bulk infrastructure, the bulk eradication program and war on meat. And then it tells you the performance of what was achieved. And then it tells you what was actually done and where we see the problems. As you see, the one links that the activities have been put on hold because of the impact of COVID and having to close during the lockdown. And then we give you what the challenges are. The next one, please. This one looks at human settlements. We've just taken two things there that looks at the upgrading program and then the title deeds restoration, which then tells us from our side what we believe their performance is. And we are basically showing that they are struggling to meet their targets that they have set for themselves. And we are trying to explain what could be the problems, and then we are also identifying the provinces that are doing well around it. The next one, please. This one looks at DTI and then looks at what we've been able to do, and we've just taken one area. We just looked at the motor industry and then we just focused on it to give information on exports, what are the challenges and what were the expected things that we are getting as a country for doing this, because there is also it supports things like your localization. So we give all of that information to say how is the export industry doing, what are the challenges, and whether the things that the industry committed themselves to doing, are they really implementing them? Because we find that some of the things that government is able to do, but what the industry is doing is not necessarily supporting what government has committed, and we discuss those things in detail. The next one. This one looks at infrastructure. As you can see, some of the parts that we in it, we looked at PLASA as an issue that we wanted to highlight. And we have, when you look at bullet point number 4, which tells you what are the red flags that we have identified around this program. Similarly, with the ESCOM roadmap, we show where the challenges are, and we then also say where the possible areas of improvement could be. And so this is the kind of things that we will be able to show. Even though we don't call it red flags, we will be saying these are the challenges that actually this program is faced with. The next one. This one looks at basic education. In it, we took also in school infrastructure, and we were looking at web books, and we give information of when the ACD program was started and what was the target that they were planning to achieve, and then what have they actually delivered. And we also try and raise the challenges on why they have not been able to achieve those the targets that they have set, including the SAFE program that was designed to help with issues of sanitation. We are able to track how many have been put, what were the targets, and then with the COVID-19 coming in, more were was imputed to be able to deal with the delays with issues around water and sanitation, because they were needed for us being able to reopen schools. We show that the issue of vandalism is also working against government progress, but the gains that we have are always being lost because there's also around issues of vandalism. And then we show some of the problems that around issues of implementing agents, project management, and some of the challenges that actually causes
the delays in the project are seen. And going forward, we know that the budget has been cut, and so it's going to affect the number of schools that we are, inappropriate schools that we are actually going to be able to eradicate going forward. We talk about the workbooks because it's one of the flagship which, of government in terms of trying to deal with issues of ability to read, that you need access to reading material. We say how much we spend around it, but that is an important issue that we have a budget that needs to be protected, because it helps with the country if the country wants to improve its international standing in terms of performance and be able to increase the reading skills of our learners. Access to materials is an important thing, but then during the reprivatization and the budget cuts, these are some of the programs that are in danger, and they have a ripple effect in terms of ensuring that the important trajectory that education has started on, we might lose it because we're trying to deal with the fiscal pressure that the country is experiencing. Next slide, please. The next one. It's on education, on higher education. We can go over it. It's fine. We are looking at issues on challenges that are in higher education. This one looks at progress we've made on what's called health. This one looks at integrated criminal justice system. We can go to the next one. It's a continuation. It shows you what the problems are. This is the last slide in this section, which then basically say these are the systems that we need to develop, and we want to ensure that with the MTSF, people know what they are going to, what their responsibilities are. And one of the innovations that we have with the current MTSF is that the cooperative nature of delivering the outcomes is much more clear. So we know that basic education, for them to be able to meet their targets, they need Department of Health in terms of screening of disabilities. They need Department of Water in terms of supply of water. And so all of those, the departments, they know in the MTSF what is their responsibility towards education. They know what is their responsibility, for example, in health. The departments and their roles are much more clearer in terms of what they need to do. Their contribution in meeting the priorities, rather than just being sector focused, you need to be able to know how you interact with the others. And then we deal also with the needs of how departments how they need to support the municipalities to ensure that the priorities that deal with municipalities are being met, and the important role of having partnerships with civil society and industry in some of our deliveries is much more clearer in the new MTSF. Chair, I will stop here.
Thank you, Thabo. So Chair, we're about halfway through the presentation. So the next section deals with citizen-based monitoring and the presidential hotline. Dr. Nita Bahari will present on this, and then also the COVID monitoring that the team has been undertaking. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Good morning, honourable members, Deputy Minister, DG, and colleagues.
Arrange your camera. We can only see the headset.
Oh, okay. Is that better, Chair?
Please go up again.
Okay. Because I'm actually using an iPad.
Whatever, try and put some things. Want to see.
Yes, I hope this is better now that you can see me.
That's better.
better, but we could still do better. But let's say.
Okay. Okay. No, thank you, Chair, for that.
I said some things are low.
Okay. No, I've got to hold it, unfortunately.
Oh, shame. Okay.
Okay. Well, my apologies for that, Chair, but, you know, as you could see, I'm a little bit of a BBT on this part. But I think the frontline, I need to talk a little bit about the frontline monitoring, our whole process as one part of the integrated monitoring and reporting framework of DPME. Because I think we could assist you more, you know, we could work together more than just citizens-based monitoring and the presidential hotline as well. Our unit actually consists of the presidential hotline, the citizens-based monitoring, facility monitoring, and the executive support. So we work very closely with our minister and our deputy minister. And as our DG has mentioned previously, that we also supporting them very aggressively in the two districts that they are placed in.
Nita, I'll tell you, these things get broadcasted, right? Even if we take 30 seconds just to make sure that you get it correct. I want you to you go up and
yes, is that better?
No, it's not. It's definitely not. What do you think? But I still want you to go up. Yeah, that's
is that better?
You have disappeared. I want you to go up. I definitely
think is this if I look right into the camera?
People of South Africa want to see you when you talk to them. You're not just talking to us. Okay.
Okay, is that better?
Try to keep it there, yeah.
Okay. Yes. Now, Chair, we actually, you know, we could assist the community, the committee in all our steps that we follow. The first steps, we actually work with, we plan our visits in partnership with the offices of the Premier. And we have targeted our visits that we do, or the programs that we engage in, is really related to government priorities. So we also work with our outcomes in deciding what we do, where we go, as well with our other partners within DPME. We also involved in rapid response, as Deputy Minister mentioned, that we intervene, for example, in the Northwest. We were a critical part arm of that team that went there. We also respond to media, and we also work on surveys. So there is a chance, if there's any like high priority areas that the committee wants us to focus on, we can definitely work in partnership with SCOA. We also we have also then from the planning we actually do the monitoring. Now the monitoring could be either surprise visits or it can be announced visits. It depends on the actual issue at hand. And in terms of the monitoring, we also work very closely with the governance structures, our governance structures, as well as our board committees as well, because we believe that we have to actually have sustainable development and build up communities is very important. So all the principles of our wonderful policies that we have in the country, we try to put it in practice. Now, in terms of the improvement, now I think this is where my previous colleague, has actually mentioned that the important part is that we move from outputs and we move into outcomes, and we basically use our positional authority of being in the presidency to bring all the stakeholders together. because we realize that our interventions cannot, our improvements need teamwork. We need to actually work together. So we bring all our stakeholders in one room. So for example, in the Limpopo province, we found that we had an issue with the human resource allocation in the Department of Health. And we realized that the Department of Health cannot by themselves solve the problem. We need to call National Treasury and Provincial Treasury all locked into one room to actually solve the problem. Then we also go back and we monitor to actually check the improvements, whether improvements are made. And then we report in with the DPME reporting cycle to biannually and to the sectors as well as to the provinces as well. Now, come and we can invite the committee at every stage of that process. Now, the community-based monitoring, the first slide that is there, this was a program that was actually developed in partnership with DFID as a partner, as well as, and we did an evaluation of it, and the evaluation findings found that it was too labor intensive, the actual process that we used, and we should actually focus on building the capacity needs of departments. So that is exactly what we did. The first slide is actually an example of this in the Northern Cape. Now, the reason why we use this example is to show that basically what we did, we assisted building capacity. This was at the invitation of COFSA and at national level, at provincial level, and at the office of the Premier, that we needed to focus on one district in the Northern Cape. And I would argue that basically what we did, we assisted them to put our very good public participation policies into practice. And this is where we focused on working together with our stakeholders, government and non-government stakeholders, in leading the process and also bringing in the voice of the politicians, because we know how the IDP process. So we followed all the IGP processes, and this is an example of our citizens-based monitoring. But I also want to say that in terms of frontline, in line with building an active citizenry, all our tools, whether it's executive support, whether it is facility monitoring, or whether it is the presidential hotline, citizens play an absolutely important part in all our processes. The next slide, please. Hello, the next slide, please. Oh, yes, no, this is just an example of the process that we used. In the interest of time, we'll pass this. Then the presidential hotline. The presidential hotline is linked to all national departments, as well as to the offices of the Premier. And we can assist the community, the committee SCOA, to actually with information, because it gives a snapshot of citizens' concerns. But it also, because we monitor the complaints resolution, it also gives an overview of government performance, and we could disaggregate the information across departments, national departments, but also at the provincial level, and this slide shows the capability of the presidential hotline. The next slide, please. This is another example that we used in COVID, that this slide actually shows us, it's a good reflection of what were our needs of our citizens. So for example, we don't, you know, it wasn't, it's not surprising that food parcels and one of the main concerns of our citizens phoning the presidential hotline. But I also want to point out that this reporting slide was actually for the period of COVID. But the types of complaints that we get at the presidential hotline are very, very complex complaints, in that we are the apex complaint management system of government. When citizens fail all other avenues or complaint mechanisms of government, they come into the presidential hotline. So here too, we don't only, very often, we don't only have a call center response. It is also a face-to-face response, and very often I myself have got to call stakeholders around the table to actually deal with the issues at a very high level of intervention that is needed. At times, Chair.
Sorry to interrupt you. You have got 25 minutes. I said just do it in an hour and we couldn't. So can you make sure that in the next 25 minutes we are done? That's by 11. Let's get down.
Okay. No, I'll do it quickly, Chair. Sorry for that. Okay, no. The next slide, please. Okay, now we can skip the slide. We, as DM said, we've opened up other channels that are more accessible to citizens as well. The next slide, please. Okay, we can skip the slide as well. Okay, now this is our work in response to the committee invite in what we did as a branch in monitoring the COVID. And as DPME, in line with the 7 pillars of the COVID monitoring, we monitored the health outcomes, which we are reporting directly to the president on a weekly basis. Then our main focus was on to protect the poor and vulnerable. So that was the food parcels, unemployment grant, top-up grants, the UIF, and the rest of the things. In the interest of time, I'll actually move to the next slide, please. Okay, this was, in response to the local government. And basically, we monitored some of the issues in terms of the regulations in the local government. But once again, most of the problems in the next slide, it actually shows us, in line with what my we could move to the next slide. It shows us in line with with my previous colleague, that the main issues were actually on water. That we as a country, we've not really moved into, access to water. And basically now we have to move into emergency modes of delivering in terms of, saving lives in the COVID crisis. We could, and once again, in terms of inequality, we can find that the provinces, the poor provinces, were actually more disadvantaged than the provinces with higher with poverty levels at lower rates. The next slide, please. We could move to the next slide. Okay, now
the food parcels, all I was monitoring was programs. And the food parcels was where, you know, we monitored the DSG and SASA. And this, as I've mentioned in the presidential hotline, was actually and is one of the needs of our communities. This actually showed us that the delivery of food parcels is actually more complex than just DSD and SASA, and we have to work with our social partners. But also in this slide, it showed that we worked with the four big NPOs, and in terms of local procurement, because we did in the in-depth analysis, that we might have lost out on local procurement in that process. So in terms of the food parcel distribution, because of the massive amounts of money, it's important to also monitor local procurement with of the Department of the National Development Agency together as a sector with DSD and SASA as well. The next slide, please. We could move to the next slide. Yes, now this is actually important because basically the findings were that, although food was distributed, there was outdated, we couldn't as a government keep pace with the expenditure data. So which reflected, there was a little bit we need to coordinate the performance information and planning a little bit better with our financial reporting as well, particularly, in terms of the SCOA needs. But also, as my colleague, in the NGSF has mentioned, that the monitoring systems of government has got to actually be prioritized as recognized in the mandate, in the budgeting, into the budgeting priority areas. And basically, some of these irregularities were actually highlighted in the AG report, of which our DG is has intervened in bringing the necessary departments together to address these issues. The next slide. Okay, that was the top-up grant. The top-up grant was easy because that was actually a grant there were systems in place, and there were electronic systems, and the eligibility criteria wasn't actually, it was easy. Whereas the 350 relief, social relief of distress was a new grant, and this actually catered for the missing gap in our social protection policies, because this was for people that were not eligible to grants before. So this was what, this grant addressed. The next slide, please. We could skip all these slides. We could skip this slide. Yes, and because now we never had databases of this missing gap, there were delays in actually caused by administrative burdens faced on the Department of DSD. So we can see there were gaps because of the application process, as well as for by proving that these citizens actually were eligible for this grant. The next slide, please. The AG findings, and this is where we can work together more closely as SCOA, and I know, Chair, you mentioned that you are going to pick the new AG. I think that it shows the power and the good systems of our AG in actually monitoring and identifying some of these issues early on. And now DSD and DPME will be working to overcome some of these issues. So definitely we as DPME are striving to work with the AG more closely as well, and also to levy on their good systems. The next slide, please. We could actually skip the slide in the interest of time. We can skip the slide. The SMME interventions, definitely I won't go into all of this in detail, but I think it also shows, we could skip the next slide, actually show that, inequality came out more, it was the poor who actually were more disadvantaged in these programs. We could move through the slides. The spaza shop, as our informal set, the township and rural entrepreneurship program, which is for the disadvantaged, was slow to deliver. The next slide, please. We could move to the next slide. The temporary employment grant, well, that is a grant that we know had stop and start, because once again, there were the policy around these grant administrations, there were issues, and there were issues between the employers and the employees. So this is where now we have to look into this into more detail, into policy implementation. We could move to the next slide. Okay, now we could move on in the interest of time. Now the public schools response, we could move on. The issue, once again, it shows the problems of water shortages in the country. We could move to the next slide. And we could see once again that these were the schools who did not have water supply. And this is how we're going to feed into the MTS targeting and into the APPs by working together with my colleagues, in actually showing where some of these discrepancies were, so that we get it funded in the next round. The next slide, please. I'll miss all of this, but definitely the procurement process also delayed delivery, and this is where we also need, in rushing procurement processes, the AG also found that in rushing procurement processes, this is where we allow leakages for corruption as well. We could move to the next, to the last slide, please. Yeah, and the point that is important, particularly for this committee, is the question is the administrative costs that were involved in the delivery of these programs in a crisis versus putting things right, those were some of the lessons that we might have to learn, that the administrative costs might have actually been more expensive than, having opening up the eligibility criteria as well as the delays that it caused on the citizens. The next slide, please, and the disadvantages, particularly to the poor, and the leakages that it has. The next slide, please, the last one from ours, yeah. Yes, so the recommendations to the Department of Education, because we know once again that the we cannot solve the issues of the school water issues without looking at municipalities, the bulk infrastructure availability, and the piping. So we have to look at all these in systems. So we did confirm the MTS lessons that my colleague, Mr. Martin, actually pointed out in the beginning of it. And he also pointed out the need for integrated service, for working in an integrated and coordinated way if service delivery is to take place. The last slide, please. Well, we could move on from this slide. So the recommendation is that we fast track the data integration system for eligibility, as well as we strengthen planning and implementation within the public service, implementation of consequence management, establishment of baseline data, and basically it's integration, integration, integration. But I want to say that in assessing all our reporting, that these many of these issues have been identified in our budget prioritization paper, as well as our MTS lessons. So, and we will be factoring these lessons into the review of the MTSF. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Bahari. Chair, this is the last section, which Mr. Godfrey Mashamba will take us through. It's just four slides, so it should go quite quickly, and we should be done by 11. Godfrey, are you on the line?
Thank you. Thank you. And good morning, Honorable Chair, Committee members, Deputy Minister, and colleagues. The committee requested an overview of the program evaluation conducted by DPME in the letter of invitation, and how that information could be used for more effective oversight by the committee to ensure value for money. So, Chair, I would highlight first that whereas we cover that aspect in this presentation, we can also highlight that there are two other areas of functions in this branch that complements the work of the department collectively. They constitute what we call the evaluations and evidence functions. Besides evaluations, there is data integration and analysis, which provides data support and analytics systems for the department, and also the research, which undertakes what is called a targeted research to support planning and the rest of the department in its work. So I thought it's important to highlight that aspect. Evaluations in particular are guided by a cabinet-approved national evaluation policy framework. The framework firstly was adopted in 2011. There is a new one that was published in 2019, which we use now. And that framework guides the development of what we call the National Evaluation Plan. National Evaluation Plans then is used as a basis for prioritizing and outlining what are the evaluations to be undertaken over a specified period. Currently, there is the 2020-2024 Evaluation Plan that Cabinet approved in March this year. We are in a process at the moment to initiate the revision of that Evaluation Plan based on what the Deputy Minister mentioned in the beginning, that the disruption of COVID, the resultant budget cuts, led to us deferring the implementation of some of the projects that were planned for this financial year. So that then necessitates the revision of the whole National Evaluation Plan. We will be doing that in consultation with the relevant parties in the center of government to identify new areas that require evaluations and how they can be prioritized, looking at the resources available. The department, the way it functions is that we are responsible for the national evaluation system. And the way we understand the national evaluation system is that it's not only the work that is done by the department, but the work that we coordinate with other players. For example, other departments in government, the provinces, as well as the local government functionaries that are responsible for monitoring and evaluation. We can go to the next slide. In the next slide, we provide summary data of evaluations that were undertaken in the implementation of the National Evaluation Policy Framework. We try to summarize information from 2011, wherein we see a total evaluations that were identified being 71, And then those that have been completed and approved is 49. And the evaluations that have served in cabinet, it's important that we elevate the outcomes or findings of the evaluations at the highest level possible. At cabinet, it's 25. 23 of them had improvement plans, and 12 of the improvement plans were actually implemented. These numbers do not suggest that the evaluations that are approved are not actually implemented. There are still challenges that we are confronted with in the administration of the results. That is how to monitor the results of implementation of the outcomes of the evaluations with departments. Some departments think that it's not important for them to report back to the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation that they are implementing the plans, the improvement plans that have been identified, whereas others do. So we just need to enforce it a little bit more. The structure, how it works, is that we focus on utilization of evaluation results, that custodian departments must show that they internalize the results of the evaluation by developing what is called a management response within a month of final report being approved. And then again, the development of an improvement plan, which should indicate what is to be done following evaluation results or recommendations. And then the DPME monitors the implementation of that for a period of 2 years. Next slide, please. In the next slide, before I talk about this, I want to mention that the committee in 2017 actually requested an evaluation of the learner transport program, just as an example of work that we've done for the committee. And then the evaluation was structured as an implementation evaluation to look into the efficacy of funding of the learner transport program at the time, and to suggest options for ring fencing or funding for that program. A steering committee was set up comprising DPME, Department of Basic Education at national level, National Treasury, the Department of Transport, and an evaluation report was then finalized in 2019. But then the report itself has not been published. This is a report that we would like to invite the committee, if required, that we do a briefing to the committee together with the department, partner departments that were involved in the evaluation, so that we make the results available. What is the case here is that all evaluations, once they are finalized and approved, they need to be made available to potential users, and the committee is one of the critical users of this type of evidence in order to hold departments accountable. Then on slide number 98, having given this example, we think that evaluations provide an important tool for oversight bodies this committee, and also other committees in Parliament and other stakeholders, so that they can have an in-depth look at how in particular policies and programs are performing and how they need to change. So this is the way to enforce accountability, to improve performance, and also as a learning mechanism, to ensure that departments and agencies are problem solving and improving the effectiveness and impact of their work, so that there is improvement of the value for money for government. The committees, like SCOA, they can actually suggest topics that require evaluation. And then we have a system that opens to allow for such a process to take place. And annually, the department can produce a report that provides an update on the implementation of the National Evaluation Plan, which we then publish on the DPME website. Next slide, please. Yes, In this slide, the key issue to emphasize is that the DPME has an evaluation repository, and then there are a number of these studies and reports that are accessible on the website of the department. Members of the committees are invited to access these reports or request further details from the contact persons that are indicated in the website. I think that was the last slide, and thank you very much, and I submit.
Thank you, Godfrey. Chair, before we hand back, I'm just going to ask the Deputy Minister, as the leader of the delegation, if she wants to make any concluding remarks. So we've essentially presented on the entire DPME cycle from a planning, monitoring and evaluation perspective. The DM, is she available?
Yes. No, thank you, colleagues, for the presentation. Chair, we want to apologize for going beyond the time that you had requested us to. I don't have any additions to make. Back to you, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you.